Greetings, I'm James Gillen. I'm your host tonight with the As You Wish Talk Radio series on the BBS Network. And I've got a little bit of news I wanted to talk about, and I think we'll be talking about in the show. We've got the eCityNews.com newsletter coming out, which is covering everything from, you know, Ebola to ISIS to the Mars explosion. All of these things are all covered on that newsletter. So check it out. It's eCityNews.com, and I've teamed up with Michael Knight, a journalist from New Zealand, which is a very hard-hitting reporter, bringing a lot of new information out. So it's a pretty amazing newsletter coming out, so be sure and check that out. We got a lot of other things going on, but I'm going to kind of skip some of this stuff just because I want to get to John B. Wells, who's my guest. He performed weekend duties as a top-rated host of Coast to Coast AM, the most listened to overnight program in history. And from January 2012 to January 2014, he now has his own successful internet radio program, Caravan to Midnight. He's also an actor, musician, writer, investigative journalist, composer, martial artist, aviator, broadcaster, and he follows the ancient sage advice of concentrate on one just thing, his one just thing, the arts. So he brings his unique perspective in discussions on news, on current events, conspiracy theories, and all things curious and unexplained. So I'm pleased to have John on the show. John, are you with us?
I sure am, James. Thanks for having me on. It's good to be with you.
Yeah, you know, I've spent many nights listening to you on Coast to Coast, and pretty amazing the interviews that you were doing. Very, very hard-hitting, very just to the point, and the guests that you had were just amazing. I mean, you weren't pulling any punches, and when I was listening to your show, I was you know, really looking forward to when you came on again, and then, but at the same time, I go, you know, he's probably not going to last very long there. He's probably a little too close to home and pushing too many buttons.
Well, yes, that was quite intuitive of you, my friend. As a matter of fact, if you hear some background noise there, I was just watching Dinesh D'Souza's latest film, America, What Would the World Be Like Without Her? And you know, when I first started on the Coast to Coast, I spoke with the visionary Ray Bradbury. He was, I'll tell you, that was like getting two Academy Awards at the same time on one night, just being able to talk to him. It was just excellent. And then after that, so many other people, I really thought it was going to be confined mostly to, you know, science and exploration, discovery, you know, wonder, all of those things. I've never been much of a Bigfoot fan. If someone wants to show me one, then that's fine. But otherwise, I find the study of the Nephilim to be a lot more interesting. And of course, the scientific establishment doesn't really want anything to do with that, although there's irrefutable evidence that they walk the earth. These elongated skull people, you know, down to the remnants of those ancient people down in Peru and so forth. I mean, this isn't from head wrapping. The geneticist down there said this DNA doesn't match anything that walks, crawls, or flies over this earth. This is not human DNA. Period. Mm-hmm. End of story. There's nothing about it that's human. And you have to say, nothing about it that's human. Now, that's pretty strong, you know. But and as time went by, I mean, I really didn't realize. I mean, I did one show in December of 2005, and then I don't think anything happened in 2006, maybe. I don't remember. But for a couple of years, there was nothing. And then in 2008, I did one. And then nothing happened in 2009. And then in 2010, I started getting more calls to come and host the show. Of course, I was delighted to do it. And then in 2011, I started getting lots of calls to come and do it. And then in 2012, in December actually, when Ian Punnett began to suffer from this acute tinnitus, I think either pronunciation is acceptable, they said, would you take the Saturday night slot? And I said, let me think about it. Okay, I'll do it. It took about 2 seconds, maybe two.
Yeah.
But I didn't really realize that, you know, I sensed it, but I didn't realize that we were in the midst of a transparent and overt takeover of the entire American way of life, and that left unabated and unchecked, unmitigated, it would result in an unrecognizable country in a very, very short order. But and I was advised, you know, stay away from don't say Obama. Just don't say Obama. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
I'll try. So I did the next best thing, which was like I just said, I will not speak his name. I can't bear the sound of him or the sight of him, which was, of course, worse than speaking his name in the view of some. And that goes for some of the other ones on the other side of the aisle as well. And then it became one of those things where it was like, listen, if you don't want me to discuss this, stop booking guests that mention him or what's going on. I don't book the guests. You do.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, one night I sat for 4 hours. It's like if I'm going to have to talk about this, I'm keeping him in the chair for the whole 4 hours. And I did. a little Satanist guy.
Yeah.
And so it's like, really? Okay, we'll have some fun with this. And really, you know, some people, I guess, were all right with it. I got a bunch of emails going, why would you do this? Why would you interview a Satanist? You know, and as a matter of fact, it's a well-known guy. His first name is Steve, and you can probably figure out what his last name is. But I don't want to, you know, do anything that might seem like ratting him out because I'm really quite fond of Steven. And I just sent him an email back that said, just be patient. All will be revealed. And, you know, this man goes on to talk about how he comes from money. He came from a family life of privilege and so forth. And I said, well, what turned you to the dark side? Why did you decide to be a Satanist? And he said, well, you know, because it was profitable and it was really so that I could enjoy a good lifestyle. And so while I didn't say this, because, you know, there's nothing in it for anybody to get into a brawl with a guest on the air. It may be stylistically okay, but it has no class. So by the time it's all over with, it's just like, okay, I see. So for $750, you'll put a spell on somebody, and so basically it's all about the Benjamins with you. I didn't say that, but not in those words, but that was the question. And, of course, the answer was, well, yeah. It's like, okay, go ahead, I'm listening.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, is this the part where I get scared or what? So anyway, it was okay. I mean, it was a great time. But obviously there are some heavy-duty left-wing influences there at Premier Radio Networks. They may have Rush Limbaugh on there and some of these others, but they don't like discussions like that. Well, the atmosphere in the country was one that was very conducive to bringing people like William Binney on, the original, pretty much, NSA whistleblower. And all these CIA guys would come on. And of course, we did get into science. And we had a fantastic conversation with Tom Shadyac, who was the director. He might have even been the producer and director, but certainly the director of Liar Liar with Jim Carrey and several other things, and it was just some great radio with him that night. This man had called up and he was upset about something, and Tom just talked him down. He talked him right down off the anger ledge. It was just amazing to just sit back and let this happen, and to be able to be the moderator but the facilitator of this. It was just very compelling, very real stuff. And that was the juice, because there were just so many people listening, which, of course, I had to just forget about it completely. In 05, when I first did the show, it was like I sat there at that mic and I thought, oh, my God, this is really happening. I'm really sitting here on this program. And
yeah,
I was very measured and very, I was using my official voice and everything, you know, the announcer voice. And it was just like, oh, man, I need some help. I need some divine intervention here. Please, Lord, hit me. And apparently he did, because by the end of the run, the audience was liking it. And if they found value in it, then all I can say is, wow, it was a satisfying experience.
I've had some great experiences on. Oh, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Oh yeah, I had I went on Coast to Coast with Art Bell, and just amazing interview. He did. very in-depth, and, you know, he didn't pull any punches. And, you know, I brought on these top, and they're like NASA scientists. I had Skunkworks people, Boeing engineers, you know, all these people. And it was kind of weird because while I was doing the show, we had a massive ship fly right overhead the ranch, and everybody was screaming and yelling, and Art actually heard it, you know, over the air. And he asked me what was going on, what's everybody screaming outside about? And I said, oh, a big ship flew over. And he goes, can you bring him on the air? So I said, I believe so. And so I went out and got him, and I didn't realize who these guys were, but one was a triple PhD Boeing engineer. The other one was a Lockheed Skunkworks guy. And we had a NASA guy there, too, and large group of people out there. And these guys actually testified on Coast to Coast. Said, yeah, it's real and things like that. But I had, you know, the last time I was scheduled to be on the show, somehow I got dropped right at the last minute and never came on the show, which was quite interesting. But I got in a lot of trouble for that. But anyway, I don't know why that was my trouble. You know, it became my trouble for some reason. But you know, I was there waiting to go on the show and never got the call right up to the last hour.
Oh, that's too bad. But, well, tell me about the ship. What ship was this? What was it, ours or theirs, so to speak?
It was theirs. It was. You know, these guys testified. They said, you know, Art, I know what we have, and these aren't ours. And it had 7 points of light on it, and it came up and just got bigger and bigger and stopped and hovered right over them, and then it backed up and went back to the mountain. And it's a pretty common occurrence here. I mean, we have boxes and boxes of video of these things actually landing and morphing and you know, from 1 to 3 and back to 1 again, and just doing things that are impossible, you know, by our standards. But
now, where is here?
Oh, we're right at the base of Mount Adams in Trout Lake, Washington.
Gotcha.
You know where that is?
Yeah, that is a hot zone. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Kenneth Arnold actually lost sight of the ships when they descended on the western slopes of Mount Adams, which is actually my front yard. You know, so it's just... Yeah, the Native Americans have been talking about it for years, and the tribal police and the regular police and fire tower spotters and all of it. It just has a long, long history of activity. And we don't watch TV at night. We pull our lawn chairs out, sit on the lawn, and watch ships. You know, that's what we do in the evening.
You know, isn't it amazing how there is not a larger percentage of people that are really just so interested in this that they do some of that intrepid investigation. I mean, I know that there are people out there doing it, but wouldn't it be wonderful if, I don't know, a third of the population was actually interested in this? I mean, so many people are in denial over it. Many of them are just well, there's nothing I can do about it, even if they exist, so I just prefer to think that they don't exist, and that way I can just take that little bit of anxiety off my plate. And
yeah, we really mess up people's comfort zones here with what we have. So it's, I tell people, come see yourself. Yeah, I said, don't take my word for it. Come see yourself. You know, get out of your armchair and check it out yourself. Do your own investigation. And people do, and they come up here, and they're just blown away.
You know, what do you make of the fact that every time we scramble a fighter jet or something to go up and intercept one, which I think is an extraordinarily bad idea, by the way, but anyway.
Yeah, oh yeah.
They always just run off, you know, they just shut the weapons panel off and, you know, circle the thing a few times and go blast off at an unbelievably and indescribable speed. I wonder why they always run from us.
You know, I think because they're non-aggressive. They just don't want to deal with the aggression. They're pretty far beyond that, but they... I tell you what I've seen here, and I had multiple witnesses and actually filmed it. I have it on film, but we had a huge ship going towards the moon. It's a full moon and massive ship going towards the moon, and we had a jet scrambling on it. We afterburners going and everything. It was getting closer and closer to this like a mothership. It was pretty big, and the jet all of a sudden, you know, they're loud. I mean, you hear the afterburners. All of a sudden, it just got dead quiet. And the jet was gone. It vanished. It was nowhere to be seen. And then the next day, we had 3 looked like F-16s or something like that were here, and they were circling the property, just circling over and over again. And they came and tilted, and I could see the pilot's face. I mean, that's how low they were. And circling, you know, I think they were looking for the buddy, trying to figure out where he went. But we've had a few jets disappear right in our little local neighborhood here, and we've had black helicopters constantly chasing them. But it's a no-win situation because these ships just disappear and reappear right behind the helicopter or the jet. They outmaneuver them so bad. I don't even know why they're up there burning the fuel, because they end up just looking ridiculous.
Yeah, so you send an F-16 up there to go check it out and disappear. So what do? You send more guys up there. No.
Yeah. No, send three more. How much are those things? I'm something like, what, $5 billion bucks a pop or more? I'm not sure how much they are.
It's ridiculous. I'll never be able to buy one, I'll tell you that.
Yeah. Well, I guess you've done a lot of flying, too. So.
Yeah, but nothing that fast.
Uh-huh. Have you flown around Area 51 there or close by?
I have not. I understand that's a real bad idea.
Yeah, from what I hear, it's not good. I was just wondering if you got any warnings, you're a little too close, turn around.
No, you know, when it came to the aviation thing, I always did it by the numbers. Whenever I went through an air defense zone or anything like that, or any kind of an area that's hot, there are some areas that they'll be conducting some kind of maneuvers. And if you advise them that you're coming through these certain areas, an ADIZ, it's an air defense mm-hmm. identification zone, if they do have an active practice in progress, you can fly through it, but you'll do it at, there's some degree of risk in doing that, because these mm-hmm. aircraft are really fast. And when you're making that kind of speed, you can come across something really quick, and there's not really much reaction time. So I just go around. I mean, the object of flying is flying. If you want to get there quickly, just, go commercial. So I just go around mm-hmm. it and just, I make it a point of not asking for it when it comes to stuff like that. You're outgunned, outpowered, outmaneuvered, and everything else.
But yeah.
They got a much bigger badge than anybody you've ever met. So why just ask for problems,
Yeah, I agree.
Get them if you ask loudly enough. If they hear you, you'll get your problem.
Yeah, I mean, you wouldn't believe the problems I've had here just keeping my ranch. They've done everything to shut it down and make me go away, but luckily I'm still here. But I had to go to court 10 times with these guys. Just unbelievable. But now we're kind of outside of the loop completely, and we're working on some other avenues right now. Even be more so out of the loop, so there is no jurisdiction. We can continue doing the work we're doing. But speaking of that, I'm curious what your take. I mean, you've got so many guests that you're interviewing. I just interviewed John Rappaport and talking about the Ebola situation, and I've got a few other people that have been talking about it and the ICE situation. I'd love to hear your take on that.
Well, I had no idea that this city, Dallas, Texas, seems to attract some really, really strange activity, beginning with, of course, the assassination of President Kennedy, and then the whole Roe versus Wade abortion case and so forth, and many other things. But to have the first case in the country, a confirmed Ebola case, show up here was like, okay, now we're going to have to change it from Big D to Big E. Is that correct? And, it was all the buzz for a while. I mean, there was a report last week about 250,000 hazardous material suits being sent to Dallas. And with the CDC saying, it's just such a... It's such a waterfall of mis- and disinformation that, nobody has really... There was a little blip that came up on the scope about Mr. Duncan's past, and it seemed that he worked for an outfit called... And I have not personally confirmed this. I mean, like, go to Liberia and check it out. I won't be doing that.
Mm-hmm.
But... But it's an outfit called Silson Global Business Networks or something like this. Someone said it might be associated with a well-known three-letter transport agency or company. And others have said, well, it's probably a front company for another three-letter outfit. It's like, well, I don't know any of this. Speculation, it can be dangerous. If your microphone reaches enough people, it can be it can be irresponsible. So I don't know this, but this is what's coming up. But the word is that this fellow quit his job 3 weeks, maybe even a little longer, before the very company which he had quit working for actually purchased his ticket. My first question was, well, how does a guy who makes a dime a week or whatever it is that they're paying, I understand the wages aren't real high in West Africa, how does this person afford a transcontinental flight like this? And then to have the hospital, he says, I'm from West Africa, and there have already been these numerous reports of Ebola killing people over there. So he goes to one of the best hospitals in this town. Presbyterian Hospital is an outstanding hospital. If I were ever injured other than a burn or trauma, you want to go to Parkland for that because it's just first class. And Baylor is a fantastic network of hospitals. Presbyterian is a very highly regarded outfit. So he goes to this very, very highly regarded outfit, and they give him a handful of antibiotics and send him on his way, and he's already got symptoms. He's come from a country that's the epicenter of the Ebola outbreak. This makes no sense to me. Now, this gal, Hickox, up there in up east, she had come back, this nurse that refused to be quarantined. According to Mike Adams, naturalnews.com, and I know Mike, he's a straight arrow, you know?
Yeah.
And he says, this woman is what you call a CDC intelligence officer, and he notes on his website with photographs how they wear uniforms that look military, although they're not attached to the military, but they are attached to the federal government. And so now her roommate has come down with Ebola. And now we know that this virus has mutated at least. Now, this is just based on reports. I am not an epidemiologist, nor am I trained in medicine in any way, shape, or form. Other than if you get a bee sting and you got a pack of cigarettes on you, rip out the tobacco, moisten it with your saliva, and slap it on the bee sting, it'll feel better almost instantly. That's about the extent of my medical knowledge. Well, there might be a little more. I mean, I can stitch somebody up if it comes down to it. But
yeah. Pennyworth,
too. Take a slug out with a grapefruit spoon or something, you know, something. I mean, I can improvise and overcome if necessary, but I mean, I'm not a doc. But this thing has mutated at least three times. So now here we go with, oh, well, you can't get it from sending somebody on a bus. That would be Obama. But, well, you can. Well, then it's like, well, it's not actually airborne, but it's droplet-borne, really. And how small is a virus? Well, pretty small. Okay. And unless it's really dry air, what's in the air? Water, yes. And water is in the form of what? Droplets. So if it's droplet-borne, then heavy humidity in the air could carry this? Well, yeah, except here comes another report that says, well, Ebola doesn't really go airborne in West Africa because it's so hot and humid there. It'll really go airborne in wintertime when it's cold, dry air. It really likes cold air. Okay. So get your flu shot. There's so many contradictions coming out of this so-called government. You know, and let me just say this. I don't have a problem with the government. I don't. This is the greatest government that has ever been on the face of the earth in the history of recorded human activity. However, it is infested with rats and roaches. Und mice, und rats, all through the houses, so to speak. And the government needs to be purged of this type of vermin. It really does. And it makes no difference to me what political affiliation they are, as long as they're ethical people who are not in the enslavement business. But that said, we are dealing with government in its current form.
I think you eliminated about 90% right there.
Yeah, I'm afraid so. Yeah, you were generous. I would say in 95. But
yeah.
But the thing is, how can you get a straight answer from these people? You can't get a straight answer out of them. Look at this character that was the head of the CDC. Frieden.
Oh yeah.
It's absolutely insane. And it worries me a little bit. There's plenty of things to get worried about in this world, but 250,000 hazmat suits? Why? Why that many? Oh, it's just an opportunity to buy a bunch of new gear. Nah, that's not really a satisfactory answer. But sometimes the most rudimentary answer, most simplistic answer, is in fact the answer, but not always. So... It could very well be deliberate. I was actually reading a book on epidemiology about AIDS and Ebola. This thing came out in the 90s, and it was natural, accidental, or deliberate. There are rumors of weapons, of bioweapons labs in West Africa having operated there for a long time. We know that there are a bunch of people that are highly paid specialists, and they have nothing to do all day except figure out what sorts of viruses can we weaponize? And some crazed dude of Japanese descent, he's got a Japanese name, decided to bring the Spanish flu back to life right here in the United States.
Yeah,
which killed, as you may know, 20 million people, you know, about less than 100 years ago. So it's just odd. We're living in a period of abject hypocrisy and doublespeak. You know, out of the one side of their mouths, it's like, we want to feed all the hungry people of the world. That's why we love Monsanto, because they make these wonderful genetically modified foods that the insects can't eat. Well, the story about, I think it was either 120 or 140,000 farmers pops up on the scope and then goes away, committed suicide in India because their crops failed, and many of them committed suicide by actually drinking the herbicide that they'd been supplied.
Mm-hmm.
It's just amazing to me. So out of one side of their mouths, they want to feed all the people in the world, and out of the other side of their mouth, they're talking about how we will destroy it because the planet is under duress. It's under stress by this scourge, this virus that is the human being. These are the same people saying these things. So wait a minute, what is it? You want to feed the people of the world, or you want to annihilate the people of the world? And so
I think Prince Philip said that. He said he wanted to reincarnate as a virus so he could just wipe out most of humanity. And they make statements like that. I look at this polio situation over there. They had maybe 12 to 24 maximum cases of polio, and after they got through the vaccinations, they ended up with a minimum of 45,000 people that were totally debilitated or dead, you know. So that's got India up in arms about that, and I think somebody's going to pay the piper on that. They're not too happy with Mr. Gates on that program. So, you know, a lot of these things are all coming to the surface, which is great. I know shows like yours and this show are bringing this all to the surface, and just hopefully we can keep doing that without the Gestapo getting a little too heavy-handed.
Well, you know, if the Gestapo gets heavy-handed with us, we'll get heavy with them, because and that's the way it is. See, here's the thing, and politics may not be your thing, so I'll limit it, and we'll go whatever direction that you want to go, James.
All right.
But here's the thing: this Saul Alinsky guy was an absolute slimeball. He was mentored by this guy named Frank Nitti, who was Al Capone's number two man.
Mm-hmm.
And these people, and of course Hillary Clinton also, these people are criminals, in my opinion. Absolute criminals. They were schooled by criminals. And of course, the current president is also an Alinskyite. These people do not care what it takes to and the money that goes along with it, or the money and the power that goes along with that. They go hand in hand. It's like the Chinese say, health and wealth go hand in hand. It's like, yep.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in this case, money, power, and force all go hand in hand. The good side is that, or rather, there's a flip side to that coin, which is that gangsters have their run and then they're over with. And then people relax, and while they're relaxing, another form of gangster gains strength, and eventually they make their play. So once you solve your problems, and you're dealing with human beings, the most, in some cases, the most unpredictable variable of them all, you can never relax for too long. You know, it's like I like to say, mm-hmm. things are going so well, it's like, I don't know, there's got to be a sniper somewhere, you know?
Yeah. I'm starting to feel that way here. You know, it's like, I mean, I had to go to court 10 times to deal with stuff here where they're trying to shut down the ranch and make us go away, and so we haven't heard from them for 2 years. You know, I think everything's just dropped. They kind of gave up on it, but I've been thinking about that. I go, wow, you know, it's just been way too calm. You know, something, and it does feel that on a big scale. It feels like there's this big calm right now before the storm. I don't know if you're feeling that too, but I think there's I know from some insiders, and I'm sure you've talked to a few people too about that. Some things I can't even talk about it, but there's some real big moves going on, and you know, this cabal seems to be, you know, in its death throes, and it's still going to try to pull a few stunts on the way out. But from what I understand, on the highest levels, that they're pretty much done with, and but we won't see it right now. We won't see it for a little while. You know, we won't see the backlash of that, but. From the news I've gotten recently, it's pretty interesting how this is all going to come down. We're going to have a whole new system, but I'd eventually like to get away from money altogether, you know, and do it like the highly advanced civilizations do. They don't use money. They said it creates too much, you know, greed and corruption and separation. So but they have a consciousness that can actually work without money too, as well.
Well, yes. Now, if you don't mind my asking you, it's none of my business. I'm just nosy. You may hear.
Sure.
Listen, you guys have got to see D'Souza's movie. I'm going to speak to him next week, and and he's such a nice man. But you got to see this picture. And I'm not shilling for him or anything. I'm just telling you that it will bring a tear to your eye. It really, really will. When you just get, just revisit what we have here, and within the perspective of the history of Western and even Eastern civilizations, you know, they would have you think that slavery is the exclusive province of America, and it's just not true. The fact is that we're the only nation that ever went to war over it to stop it.
Mm-hmm.
Slavery was all over the world. At one time, there were more white indentured slaves than there were black slaves. There were slaves that there were slave breeders, and they were black. The slaves got here by being sold brokered through the Arabs from Nigeria. That's where the N-word came from. They sold their own poor people into slavery. And then when they got rich and powerful, they began to invade other countries. Now, that's not in D'Souza's movie, not that part, but the last part there, but the prior part is. But they twisted. I mean, it's so strange to see the anger and the vehemence with which the left attacks anything that I consider to be normal. Listen, I was a rock and roll disc jockey in Dallas, Texas, back from 79 to 82, and it was a rocking good time. I'm so happy it only lasted 3 years for me before I went into voiceovers full time, because I don't think my health would have withstood a fourth year. But I was young then, you know, I was in my 20s, and I thought, you know, it's really kind of time to grow up and let this go. It really is. So, you know, in the old days, they called it sowing your wild oats. Well, I sowed a lot of wild oats, but you reach a point where you go, all right, enough of this. It's just like it says in the Bible, you know, I'm paraphrasing here. When I was an idiot, I did idiotic things. But when I realized I was an idiot, I quit being an idiot, and I started doing things that were less idiotic. Mm-hmm. And I believe what the Bible says is when I was a child, I thought as a child, and I acted as a child, but when I became a man, I quit doing it. And that's how it is. But But to have these people just cling to this idiotic ideology that is nothing but destructive to the human being on every level, physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, it just makes me sick. And it makes me sick enough to go, okay, that's it. Consequences be damned. I'm going to sing out about this. I'm going to try to do it articulately. You have to speak to people in a way that they will be willing to listen to you. You can't just speak to them any way that you want to. I learned that one the hard way. It's just like, calm down and just speak your piece. Some people will continue to cling to their position even stronger the more proof you bring to them that their position needs to be adjusted. They'll hold on to it even tighter. They just can't let it go. Look at the Democratic turnout right now. It's 20. I think it was last week in early voting. Might have been week before, just this past one. 28% below what it has been previously, which means that these people will not say, you know what, I'm going to send the people that the Democrats, the liberals, they won't say, you know what, my crew has let me down. They really have. They sold me a bill of goods, too, and I'm going to send them a message. I'm going to vote against them. Oh, no, they can't possibly do that. No, because that would be supporting an ideology they just absolutely oppose. But because they couldn't get their ideology to get its way, they're just not going to vote at all. To me, this is the height of pusillanimosity, which is small-mindedness, pettiness, and cowardice. And I think we've all been way too nice for way too long, and we've been tolerant. And I think what we need to be now is very intolerant of rubbish and stuff that is damaging to people. These people in government who have done these, who have violated their oath, it's an oath. It's not a joke. It's not just some Bravo Sierra, as I like to say, a campaign promise. You could look at the Three Stooges, and Mo says to one of the other ones, Larry or Curly, says, oh, you can't believe all that stuff. That's a campaign promise. Understood. But when the President of the United States comes on and says repeatedly, if you want to keep your doctor, if you like your doctor, you can keep him. If you like your doctor, you can keep him. Over and over and over again, and it turns out to be a lie. What do you do with this? I'll tell you what you do. You throw him out. You throw him out. You send a message. We're not going to live like this anymore. We're not going to have militarized police. What happened to the revolutionary spirit of the 60s? I'll tell you. No draft. I assure you that if there was a draft and the average citizens, the lefties as well as the righties, you know, the so-called baby killers, well, if it was the baby lovers on the so-called left that were being drafted and forced into an undeclared war, oh, there'd be plenty of anti-war protests. But there is no draft. You know? So these cowards just sit there and kind of throw spitballs from the back of the classroom, but they won't go up there and actually challenge anybody. The people who were the so-called leftist hippies, you know, that were just against the government, what were they against? Undeclared wars, police brutality, overreaching government, and things like that. Mm-hmm. Well, it's not the left doing that anymore, it's the right. So So what happened? Well, I'll tell you, in the manner of the Three Stooges, when that big fat guy goes, when that Civil War scenario goes, the left flank has moved over to the right and the right flank has moved over to the left. Gentlemen, what can you suggest? It's like, yeah, that's exactly what's happened. They've just flipped sides, you know? So
I like that one. They said, you know, you either have a Republican or I can't even say the other one, but they have to me, my understanding of it is basically we have a corporate dictatorial democracy, and whatever the corporations say is what they're going to do. And they don't get elected if they don't have the backing of the corporations. And I think the only thing that could possibly solve this problem is to write two bills to get the money out of there, you know, get the if everything's fair and equal. And then the other one is if you have dual agency or if you have dual citizenship, you're right there, you're in conflict of interest and you need to step down. That would solve a lot of our problems right there.
Yep, and we have to have term limits. We absolutely have to have term limits. You cannot make a career out of being in public service. You cannot do it, not serving as a senator or a congressman or as a, or anything else. Now, where governors are concerned and sheriffs and people like that, that's one thing. But on the national level, you can't do it. There's too much money involved. The temptation is too great. I mean, after all, let's cut them a little bit of slack. Not much, but a little. You know, the allure of that kind of power and wealth is pretty strong. And if it's facilitated, you know, if you're a connected guy, I mean, see, all you have to do is repeat the same cliches over and over again, and they become the truth. Things like, it's not what you know, it's who you know. Well, that's true. You can't really do things completely on your own. You need people to help you. But you don't want to take it all the way to the, well, if you have a business, you didn't do that. Somebody else made that happen. See, that's wrong. That's taking it to an unrealistic and completely false extreme. And so we just have to not have real high highs and not have real low lows. Just kind of keep it in the middle, so to speak. You know, just moderate everything. That goes back to Scripture. Mm-hmm. Why would somebody say, look, moderation in all things? Didn't say most things, doesn't say some things, doesn't say these things. It says moderation in all things. And what is moderation? Mm-hmm. Don't go to the extremes, because if you do, you have whatever it is that you're doing that with, within whatever context you're doing that in, you've changed it from what it was to its different form, which can be labeled the extreme form. And that's different from what you were doing before you went all extreme. Mm-hmm. So, and it's just, and look, it's a great experiment in existence. I mean, philosophically speaking, what is philosophy anyway? It's the discovery and study of what makes a good life, what makes life worth living. And for my part, well, everything is designed to make us more safe. You're not safe. You know, you may not, I mean, I saw this commercial, this woman's backing her car out, and oh, good grief, her little car put its brakes on because the gigantic yellow school bus, she can't see this, right? But her car can see it, to help keep everyone safe. Well, what about that banana peel that you're going to slip on day after tomorrow down there by the five and dime stores, they used to call them? You're not safe. Mm-hmm. You're going to be born, you're going to live, and you're going to check out of here. I don't want to be safe. I want to be free. I want to be free from oppression by other humans.
What's the old saying? You know, no giving up liberty for safety, you know, you deserve neither. You know, you're going to get neither, too. And I think that's the whole game. We are ruled by fear. I mean, that's unfortunate. We there is this Archon network, and they do run the first three chakras, survival, sex, and power, and they've got them covered on every level, you know, through the media, through everything. But and we are so programmed to run on those first three chakras. The whole, you know, every commercial, everything is actually programmed. The movie industry, everything, survival, sex, and power, is to keep you down into the lower chakras, you know, trapped in there. Not that there's anything wrong with the lower chakras, but we need to balance it out with getting up into the upper chakras, you know, get into the heart, you know, and start speaking the truth, you know, and seeing God in all things and making your own personal God connection, whatever you want to call that. That stuff, just all the higher teachings seem to have just gone astray somewhere, and you know, and whatever culture you are, it just seems those basics, you know, are a lot of those are very understood in other cultures and things like that. But over here in the States, we've just become so materialistic. We've forgotten the higher teachings and the higher aspects of living.
Well, that's really true. And you know what? Let me interview you for a moment, James. If you don't want to talk about this, it's okay. But what's the deal? Sure. Why are these people leaning so hard on you about your ranch?
Well, it's a combination of things. One is they came in, and it's a Baptist community, a very strong Baptist community, a logging community. And I'm not against logging, but I have spoken out late about, you know, shelter cutting and doing things properly and you know, in the clear cutting, one thing. And, you know how Baptists are, a lot of people that are heavy religious orders, they don't want anything different. You know, you're either with them or you're against them, you know, like our last president said, you're either. And unfortunately, they're on the council. You know, they're on the city council, and they're the people you have to go before to get permits and do what you're doing. So, I went through that process, and it was a headhunting process. And finally, they made it very clear. They told me publicly that I had no right to privacy. I had no right to practice my spiritual beliefs. I have no right to assembly. And no freedom of speech. And I got him to say it on the record 3 times. I said, I want to get really clear. And I said, well, you all violated your oath, and this is no longer a viable agency, because this is actually more of a headhunting thing. And so it's null and void, basically. I said, I don't know how you can expect me to come before this group here, considering, you know, under that premise. That went over like a lead brick. So anyway, I got on the S list there, and then a couple guys made it their mission to take me down, which didn't work out too well. And so it was just a whole series of shenanigans of doing everything they could to just, you know, shut us down to where, even charged me with felony, saying I didn't respond. I responded to everything, and they said, well, I didn't respond, so they tried to charge me with felony. Tell you to respond, all these different things. And I said, well, you know, that a lot of this too is around permits. You know, they said the building department and saying I didn't have permits for this. And it's, well, I did, you know, and it was on record. And actually, one of them was on the building, all signed off by them and everything. So it's just a headhunting program. When you're on the cutting edge and bringing in something that goes against their belief system or whatever, they feel it's their duty. You know, God is behind them, and I'm the demon or the devil that needs to be exorcised. And actually, you know, I had 14 ministers show up here, and actually 3 more came later. And we had a talk, and I had a talk with the ministers, and it turned out pretty well. You know, it's they didn't realize they knew the Bible probably better than they did. So we had a talk, and I showed them where everything I was doing was in the Bible, and they didn't know how to deal with that. And they said they're going to go home and read. And then I started asking them some pertinent questions about the Bible. I said, well, you know, maybe you could explain to me about, you know, how come Lot had sex with his daughters? How come, what was it, Aaron raped his sister and threw her out in the street, and Absalom had sex with 10 of his father's wives? And I just started going through the Bible. You know, how come Joshua slayed the land of milk and honey? These people are innocent people. And, you know, he bashed the kids' heads on stones, bashed their brains out. I started going through all these things. I said, maybe you can explain this to me. And I said, Jesus is talking about an all-loving, all-forgiving God. And I said, but this other guy is doing... And I go, why is he giving the same property to 3 different people and having them fight over it? You know, it's kind of... They couldn't answer those questions, and I just kept going on and on, and so they left. They said, we're going to go home and read, and we'll be back, and they didn't come back. But you know, it's I have no problem asking the tough questions, and I did, and, you know, that upset some people.
Well, it sounds like you got it under control. And then there is the old civil rights lawsuit that you could file, sounds to me like.
Oh yeah, yeah. There's a lot of different things I could do. Right now, I'm just kind of, we're at a standstill. Right? Okay, don't bother me. They even asked me, said, please don't come in, court anymore. I said, don't invite me. You know,
mm-hmm.
You know. I said, don't invite me. I have no problem with that. I said, I have a lot better things to do.
Tell you what, just don't come down here anymore. Okay, we'll leave you alone. Just don't come down here. You made us look like idiots.
Yeah, we buried them in paper. We buried them in so much paperwork and so many affidavits and things like that they couldn't even respond to, that they didn't know what to do with it. But I had to do a crash course in law, basically, which really wasn't my forte. But it's interesting. But anyway, you know, I just
good for you, man.
You know, Yeah, yeah. It's basically, I go, well, God, I thought this was America, you know. I didn't know this was Germany or you know, 1940 or something. I go, what's going on here? But
I think if it were Germany, it would be more like his papers are in order. He may go. You people remain. I want to speak with you.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, you know, it's funny though, the town, most of the townspeople were totally on my side and cheering and going, don't back down, don't back down. And, you know, they're tired of the heavy handedness, you know, and the other nonsense. And they're all like rooting for me. So it's kind of interesting.
That's great,
it's just
man.
a small contingent here that is very, I use the word redneck, but, you know, very, very redneck and very religious right. And they're the ones creating all the problems. But overall, most people love us here. We don't, this whole town was dead. I mean, it was a ghost town before we got here. Now it's thriving. And so all the businesses and everybody love us.
Well, there's probably a good degree of jealousy there, for one thing, or certainly envy. Jealousy
yeah.
is like envy in its acute stage, and it's dangerous. I mean, it's very dangerous. But look, you're doing exactly what you should do, and I think it's excellent. I think the rest of the country is about to follow suit. You know, all of this Occupy Wall Street stuff and Occupy this and Occupy that. You know what I think the best thing to do is? There's a guy, I have made him an ARC guardian. He's an Englishman that lives in mm-hmm. Germany. And he just decided to, he just took some time and figured out a way to contact me directly, and he did. I was so intrigued by the things that this man had to say that I speak with him with some frequency now. And I have made him, mm-hmm. I call the new mothership, I call it the ARC Midnight. And boards the mm-hmm. ark, and here we go. But he's had a very interesting perspective. He said, look, why occupy anything? Unoccupy. And I said, yeah, vacate. And he goes, well, yeah, just, he was really echoing my own sentiments that I've said this little phrase many times. If you want something to go away, stop buying it. Just mm-hmm. don't comply. What are they going to do? What are they going to do? Look at what happened in Hungary. The masters and lords and the masters and commanders there of government decided, we're going to levy an internet tax on you. And the people went, oh, no, you're not. And they took to the streets, and the government went, well, wait. Let us rethink this. It's like, no, we don't want you to rethink it. We want you to make it go away. And they did. There are way more ants than grasshoppers here, and mm-hmm. and they know. And you're exactly right, James. They are going to ramp up their game a little bit, because they know they're finished. They know that it's not working anymore. They're not falling for it. And they're going to throw us out, and we are going to throw them out. They're going to be thrown out this coming Tuesday, and we're going to have. Mm-hmm. I predict we're going to have a real celebration on Guy Fawkes Day, which is the day after the midterm elections. I really mm-hmm. look forward to this. I want these people to be thrown out of office. And when the new crew gets in, because believe me, I'm no fan of the Republicans either. I just happen to like some of those. There are some good Democrats out there. There's no doubt about it. There are. But they're mm-hmm. hamstrung by their own party. And if they get too vocal, well, they'll be ostracized. They'll be thrown out. What are they going to do, join the Republican side now? That's not going to work. And there's nothing in our Constitution that says we have to limit this to two parties. That's the biggest mm-hmm. problem. If you go back to what the Founding Fathers said, they advised against a two-party system. They're going, that's trouble is what that is.
Oh, yeah.
When you limit it to two parties, you got trouble. And we've done everything that they told us not to do. So I think everybody's waking up. I think we can do it. I think we can save it. I think we can put it back together. I think we can regain our reputation mm-hmm. as the light of the world. Because, you know, these people, like the Mexicans, for example, they can say, oh, this is stolen Mexico. Well, no, it's not. We went all the way to Mexico City in the last war with you, and we gave half of the land back. And by the way, the only reason that you ever invited the Texans to come into what Tejas, you know. The only reason is because the Comanches were chewing you up and spitting you out. The Mexican government, led by Santa Anna, you know, the dictator, Napoleon of the West, he fancied off. They said, please come down here because they're killing us.
We're hitting the end of the hour here, unfortunately, so we've got to be signing off. What's the best way to get in touch? I know you have Caravan to Midnight. Is it caravantomidnight.com?
It is, caravantomidnight.com, and there's a bunch of stuff up on YouTube also, just youtube.com/caravantomidnight. We got a bunch of shows that people can sample and see if they like it, and we would love for them to join us because our subscribers are the people that keep us running. They keep the lights on and all of that stuff. We don't do it any other way. We don't fill up the program with a lot of commercial content or any of that, and we say we do a three-hour show. Sometimes we do a four-hour show. We said we'd do Monday through Thursday. Well, now we're doing Monday through Friday. So we give them very, very good value for their money. It's $5 a month, you know, $15 for three, $30 for six, $60 for a year. And there are a lot of benefits to it. And there's over 150 shows and archives already. So it's a good value, and fascinating people come on the program. I feel very blessed to be able to say that.
Well, I have to send you a video here. You can see what's going on here. I think it'll kind of blow your mind, but it's pretty amazing. I mean, it's in your face, treetop level, with 200 witnesses at a time. You know, so it's you know, cameras rolling, so it's hard to refute. But I'll send you a video on that, and you can check that out. And again, thank you so much for coming on the show. And I know we just scratched the surface. We'll have to do it again sometime.
Let's do. Bring your films and come on to Caravan. I'd love to have you on the program sometime.
Sounds great. Well, again, thank you so much for coming on the show. This is James Gillen signing off. Have a great evening. Watch the skies. And things are getting worked out, but we got to be willing participants in this movement. We can't sit on our butts and just be observers. We got to get in there and get our hands a little dirty to get this thing turned around. So anyway, have a great evening and watch the skies.